Business School built itself as a business school for the world? Which MBA program offers campuses in Europe and Asia and an option for an exchange in the U.S.? Hint, it's the same program that sends 40% of its grads into consulting. Hello, I'm Linda Abraham, the founder of Accepted and the host of this podcast. Welcome to Admission Straight Talk. Before we start learning more about the school I was referring to a minute ago, and if you guessed INSEAD, you'd be right, I want to highlight a resource that can help you apply to top MBA programs, including INSEAD. MBA Admissions A to Z, 26 Terrific Tips, is a free download and provides you with advice on everything from relating your aspirations, the A, to making sure you don't put the admissions committee to sleep, as in Z or Z. Check it out. It's a click away from our show notes, which will be posted at info.accepted.com/46. For today's episode of Admission Straight Talk, I'm pleased to introduce PJ Bland, Director of Marketing, Admissions, and Financial Aid at INSEAD. PJ graduated from the University of Aberdeen in Scotland. In March 2007, she came to INSEAD as Associate Director, and she became the Director of Marketing, Admissions, and Financial Aid in May 2011. PJ, we have interacted on chats and panels, but this is the first time I've had the pleasure of interviewing you for Admission Straight Talk. Welcome. I'm so pleased to have you on the show.
I'm delighted to be here. Thank you. Thank you very much for having me, Linda.
You're very welcome. Now, INSEAD has a very short, one-year program. It is intense, and it also offers the opportunity to take classes in Singapore, Fontainebleau, and the U.S. And how can you cram it all in?
Cram sounds a bit scary, actually, but you're absolutely right. It is a very intense program. It's actually 10 months.
Okay, that's less, yeah.
I think so. The main part of the program obviously takes part in Fontainebleau or in Singapore. It's the same program, it's the same curriculum, and the students that apply to the program choose to begin on one of the two campuses. They will spend the first 4 months on that campus, and then they have an opportunity to begin the exchange. Students can choose to exchange actually between the two campuses for 2 months, for 4 months, or for 6 months. So a lot of our students choose to go to one campus just for the two-month period, basically. In addition to that, the US is just for what we call one period as well, which again is a two-month period. So I guess on paper, a student could effectively go to Fontainebleau, then spend 2 months in Singapore, and then spend another 2 months in the US, and then come back to Fontainebleau, for example. The reality is that the majority of our students actually just go for the Fontainebleau-Singapore campus exchange. I think about probably 20 per year of our students manage to make all three changes within that given year. So yes, it is very intensive, but they do manage to do it.
Do you feel, I mean, this question just occurred to me, do you feel that perhaps, I guess it depends on personal preference, but that maybe the community aspect of the business school may suffer a little bit, or, you know, because they're all over the place, or at least in two different campuses?
No, it's actually a very good question. The reality is that what we see, students tend to make the exchange in groups. And here I'm really talking about the Fontainebleau-Singapore, Singapore-Fontainebleau exchange.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
It's true that you tend to make a lot of friendships within the first 4 months. But you tend to find then that students will make those exchanges with the, not necessarily with the groups that they've been working with, but, you know, as a group.
Uh-huh.
I don't really think that on that side the community is, I guess what you're sort of trying to say is diluted to a certain extent.
Yeah.
I think what it does is it just gives students, you know, to go to the other campus with their peers, but also to meet, of course, new classmates at the same time.
Right.
And, you know, to give you an example of how popular the sort of exchange between our two campuses is, it's about 70% of our students actually do that.
Wow, that's a very high number. I knew it was high. I didn't realize it was that high. So obviously it's a very popular option, and like you said,
absolutely, yeah, yeah.
It's almost part of the INSEAD community.
I would say it is absolutely a part of the INSEAD experience, yes.
Okay, great. Now, INSEAD is, as I mentioned at the very beginning, is famous for sending its grads into consulting. In 2012, approximately 40% of INSEAD grads went to consulting, and one-tenth of the class joined or returned to McKinsey. And I don't know if the 2013 numbers are, if you have them, or if they're much different. But what aspects of your program do you think prepares your students particularly well for consulting careers and makes them particularly attractive to consulting firms?
I think there are a number of aspects of the program. I mean, I think first of all, you know, the INSEAD experience is a very international one, and in fact, you know, we're looking for international profiles in sort of crafting the class. So the majority of our students have worked or lived outside of their home country at some point in the past. I'm sure that you know that the listeners of this show know that we have a language policy, which also demonstrates the diversity of the program, for example. So I think that, you know, the consultants obviously very much appreciate the importance of the international experience for staffing their offices throughout the world. So I think that's definitely a strength of INSEAD. The other thing, you know, which sort of relates back to the first question that you had, which is really about the intensity of the program. Mm-hmm. I think it's an amazing training ground for a very fast-paced, highly charged work environment, which of course is consultancy. Right. Of course, there are many other careers which are similar, but I think that particularly prepares them for consultancies as well. And I think in general, you know, because of the international experience itself, because of the international profile of our students, and because of the exchange that takes place in the classroom, we typically have graduates of INSEAD who are really able to think globally, and they, you know, they really understand the different viewpoints from a business perspective, which again makes them really interesting. Should I say material? Interesting hires for consultancies. Sorry about that.
That's a great one. of INSEAD's graduates, I'm going to go into the other end of slavery. 50% of graduates start or run their own company at some point in their career, according to your website. What does INSEAD offer the would-be entrepreneur? Another other than a very fast-paced environment that prepares them for entrepreneurship.
Yes. Well, we have a very strong entrepreneurship offering, actually. We have several centers at INSEAD. We have at least three entrepreneurship centers who focus on research and also on teaching, of course, and who are really there to help the students. And so in terms of teaching, there are many entrepreneurship electives on offer for the second part of the MBA program. I think the entrepreneurship area, if you will, or the entrepreneurship centers work very closely with students who are interested in going into entrepreneurship at some point in their careers. And again, I think, you know, it's pretty important to underline here, you've picked up on 50% of our graduates starting their own company or
but it's at some time in their career, it's not immediate.
Yeah, it really is at some point later on, obviously, because the statistic is very much smaller on graduation.
Oh yeah.
But basically there is a very strong support system for entrepreneurs. Our career development center as well has two people who are dedicated to the entrepreneurship area. So they have sector advisors who specifically work, for example, in the consulting area, in the finance area, in industry in general, but also now two people dedicated, so one on both campuses, Singapore mm-hmm. and Fontainebleau, dedicated to helping students who are aspiring to become entrepreneurs at some point in the future, as well as to actually work within enterprises as, you know, sort of intrapreneurs as well.
Right.
I think we have a very strong alumni network, and you know, again, as you've said, 50% of our graduates are actually going to become entrepreneurs at some point in their career, and so our career center and our entrepreneurship centers are also able to connect our budding entrepreneur students with successful entrepreneurs.
Okay, and let's look now a little bit more closely at the admissions process. All right.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Your newest application is shorter than previous applications. Can you briefly outline the changes?
Yes, to be perfectly honest, we haven't made huge changes.
Right.
One of the things
that's going to be my next question.
Well, one of the things that we did want to do. So, I mean, it's been a long time since the application has changed, since we've had a look at the essays and sort of, you know, really thought about the questions that we were asking. And one of the things that we really wanted to try and do was to get to know the candidates, to know their special stories, I would say, to really find out about them as people. So we have changed some of the essays to be sort of more focused on the soft skill side of things. And also, you know, in reducing the number of essays, I think, you know, there's a feeling that we really don't need to have sort of, you know, five or six different
right.
essays to be able to get to know the candidates. And the hope is that the candidates will really tell us their stories in a succinct and very personalized way.
And you just started this, so it's too early to say if that's really happening, right?
Absolutely. No, we've literally just launched it. That's right.
And
I think, you know, one of the examples that I can give you is there is one essay that asks for a description in sort of almost layman's terms about how their careers have progressed. So it's also about their communication skills, and it's also about how they see themselves, which is pretty important.
Right. I think that's the first one, right? Give a candid description of yourself, who you are as a person, stressing the personal characteristics you feel to be your strengths and weaknesses, and the main factors which have influenced your personal development, giving examples when necessary. Is that the one you're referring to?
That's actually the same as it was before. I'm thinking of there are two job descriptions which are not part of the essays.
Oh, all right.
So part of the application.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so we do say in there, so please give a full description of your, sorry, just looking at my...
I printed. I noticed those changes also. I didn't print them out.
Okay.
Without the questions ahead of time.
It's literally we're just asking them to write job description number two. It should be written as if you were talking to someone at a social gathering.
Right.
Which again, you know, sort of really gives us some insight, more insight into the personalities of the candidates, as opposed to something that's sort of perhaps what they feel we want to hear.
The resume.
And then we focus, for example, essay number, which one is it? Essay number...
Well, you ask about an achievement of which you're most proud and explain why. Tell us about an experience where you've significantly impacted, where you were significantly impacted by cultural diversity, and describe all types of extra professional.
Yeah, sorry, I'm thinking about essay number two, for example, where we say, you know, how do these experiences impact your relationships with others? So also
it's more social.
It's about their interaction with others as opposed to just about sort of themselves or what happened next, etc. So I think what we're really trying to do is to just, you know, we're always trying to dig into the sincerity of our applicants, and we're always trying to get to know them through their stories. And we hope that this application will give us a little bit more insight into who they are.
Okay. And it still is one of the more demanding MBA applications. In terms of essays and writing and such,
it is. I know a lot of other schools have reduced a great deal more, but again, you know, we actually did sort of do this exercise, having spoken to the folks who evaluate the files on the first read,
mm-hmm.
talking to the members of the admissions team, the members of our marketing team, etc. And I think, you know, the general feeling was that we still need all those essays. We still need to really get to know somebody from many different aspects.
Well,
so at the moment, we're pretty comfortable with the way that the application form looks. But, you know, as you say, time will tell.
Right. I think also, INSEAD as a school, from my perspective, is not shied away from setting up some barriers to entry in order to get the kind of people they want in the program. And the language requirement would be the best example of it. I mean, writing an essay is nothing compared to speaking another language. Okay. So, you know, you do require fluency in two languages upon entry, am I correct?
You do, absolutely. You require, well, obviously English is one of them.
Right.
And then the other one is, if you're lucky enough to not be an Anglo-Saxon speaker, it could be your native tongue.
Right.
For our Anglo-Saxon speakers, of course, yes, it's a practical knowledge, if you will, of a second language.
Okay.
Then, you know, the reminder also, a third language to graduate at a basic level.
And I believe you recommend that people actually get that level of knowledge before they start the program. You allow them to get it in the program, but you would be happier, I think, if they got it before, and probably they would be too. But
I think, I mean, it's really from their perspective. I think, again, you know, underlining the fact that it is a very intense program, and that it's intense on the academic side as well as actually on the social side too. Having to actually study that language during the time on the program is an additional workload, basically for our students. And so, yes, we do recommend that they, if they can, that they do try to sort of get that requirement over beforehand. But of course, there are options to study during the program.
Right. Okay.
I mean, I would also add that, you know, a lot of our candidates actually already speak three languages, if not more.
Really? Wow.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, I think that's much more common in Europe than certainly not to speak of North America. And we're not going to talk about that, but I think it's much more common in Europe, and probably more common in Europe than in Asia, because you have such large geographic stretches where one language is dominant, which you don't have in Europe.
Yes, no, that's a very good point. Yeah.
INSEAD has a relatively new dean. Dr. Ilyan Mikhov took on the position on a permanent basis in the fall. How is he changing the school? What are his plans for the future of INSEAD?
Well, obviously, I don't want to speak in his name. but you know, I would say that there are definitely a couple of areas which personally were relatively excited about on the MBA program side. First of all, in terms of, because we have such an international audience, there are obviously many students or potential candidates who struggle with the funding side of the MBA, you know, particularly from some emerging markets where salaries are quite small and it's not that obvious to get a loan.
Right.
So, you know, one of the priority areas would be in fundraising in order to increase the number of scholarships that we can offer. At the moment, we have a lot of scholarships on offer, and so, you know, we're already relatively happy with that. But if we're able to offer more scholarships, then obviously we'll be able to enable even more diverse students to come to the program. So that's the first thing. And then I think these are the two that really come to mind. But obviously, of course, Ilyan is working on many other areas too. But what's very important for the school too, or at least for the whole school, I would say, is the digital experience. So the changing expectations of our audience. You know, you mentioned that we've changed our essays. We've also implemented a new application system, which is completely online. We've gone completely paperless on that side.
Uh-huh.
We have a collaborative platform now, which is internal, where admits are already invited to sort of come on board and start networking well before they start the program.
I see.
And then, you know, there's some discussions around further use of digital in the classroom, either as a support tool or also to a certain extent to go down the blended learning route as well. So there's quite a number of initiatives on the digital side which are definitely a priority for Ilyan. And as such, he's named a deputy dean, in fact, who is responsible for some of those areas.
I see. Now, were you experimenting at one point with the video essay?
That is still on the cards. We haven't yet experimented with it.
Okay.
We wanted to finalize our online application platform, which is almost there, which is almost finalized now. We also wanted to make the, you know, those changes that we've just talked about in the essay as well. But at some point, we'll definitely be looking at the video essays, definitely. Because it seems that, you know, that's another way that students can really demonstrate their communication skills.
Oh, yeah.
And they can sort of really complement what they're writing, definitely. So,
right.
It's on the cards.
Okay. To my knowledge, Dean Mikhov is the first dean to operate from Singapore as opposed to from France. What is the significance of this change to students in the MBA program, or is there any?
I think the one thing to really underline is that we're a global school. Mm-hmm. So really, in reality, the dean could be based anywhere. And the reality is that our dean and our, well, the dean of the school and of course the dean of our degree programs travel frequently between the two campuses. So I would say that it's really just a reflection of the nature of the school.
Okay.
Doesn't really change anything. Information, the dean of the degree programs is physically based out of Fontainebleau, so kind of balances up quite nicely.
I see. Okay. One of the, I think, distinctive aspects of INSEAD's admissions evaluation is that the evaluation is not done by the admissions office. It's done by alumni and faculty, correct?
That's actually at the admissions committee stage.
Okay.
So it's not. Yeah, it's not completely correct. It's partially there.
Okay.
We have so the original evaluation, so the sort of pre-selection evaluation, the first read, if you will, is completed by a team of file evaluators who are part of the admissions team.
Right.
And at that point, a decision is taken with the pre-selection committee, which again is made up of admissions staff, as to whether the candidate goes through to interview or if the file is at that point rejected. Then if the file goes through to interview, sorry, if the candidate goes through to interview, then the interviews would be with alumni.
Mm-hmm.
The alumni make their reports back to the school, their volunteer interviews, if you will. And then the final decision is taken effectively by the admissions committee. The admissions committee at that point is, yes, made up of faculty and alumni.
Oh, I see. All right. So it's really very much a multi-step process.
It is, absolutely, yes.
All right. But the final decision is with faculty and alumni. Do you think
Exactly. I mean, I would say it's with the admissions committee, but the admissions committee is made up of faculty and alumni. There's no staff on the committee. Of course, we make recommendations. We attend those meetings, etc., etc. But the final decision is with the admissions committee.
Do you think that kind of makeup would perhaps raise the importance of one's previous academic record, grades specifically?
I think that it's the academic performance, even at the pre-selection stage, is looking at many different things, of which the academic performance is an important factor.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
So it's not necessarily at the admissions committee stage. At the admissions committee stage, the committee are really they're really shown a sort of the final picture.
Okay, they're shown the qualified already, the pre-qualified basically. Got it. And it's more a matter of creating the class.
Yeah.
Selecting from the already qualified. Right.
Absolutely.
I mean, I frequently have these conversations with or correspondence with applicants, and it would go something like, I didn't do well in my my undergraduate years and my GMAT isn't so hot, but I've been a great, fill in the blank for profession, right? I've done well as a consultant, or I've done great as, whatever the work experience is.
Sure.
And I don't see why my grades or my GMAT should be so important. And I'll say, well, you are applying to a school. They want to know that you can perform in an academic environment. It's academic, this is school.
Yeah.
But yeah.
To your point as well, I mean, we are looking at many different criteria.
Mm-hmm.
It is very important to be able to follow the program, all the more so because it is intense and you really can't afford to fall behind on the academic side of things. But we are, of course, looking at work experience. We are looking at the international outlook. We're looking at the sort of leadership potential, etc. So academic is important, but everything is, I would say, we're looking for a good balance.
Okay.
An all-round balance.
Another question I commonly get about INSEAD is, how do you demonstrate international outlook if you've never been outside your home country?
That's a very good question.
Maybe the question could be, can you demonstrate international outlook or global perspective?
I do think you can. In general, we see candidates who may not have left their home country, but they may have been working with colleagues who come from other cultures. or they've been working with clients who come from other cultures, etc. So yes, it's
so a well-stamped passport is not a requirement.
A well-stamped passport is not a requirement, and if somebody's just been sort of traveling around on holiday, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, it depends on the experiences, really.
Right.
But as I say, somebody who hasn't left their home country, because, you know, we do understand that there are some countries where it's not really a norm to go off and work elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
There are other ways to really demonstrate the sort of the cultural sensitivity and the interest in working in different cultures, I think.
Great. Now, I'm going to, and there's certainly, this is true of me, I'm going to guess it's true of you. There must be some things that you just wish you could tell MBA applicants. They, for some reason, they don't get it or they don't know it, and you just wish you could take them by the shoulders, shake them up and say, look, you got to do this or you got to understand this. What would that be?
Well, I think, you know, there's something that we always say with regard to the actual application itself, and I know other schools pretty much say the same thing, but it is important, and I've mentioned it earlier on, there is no trick in the application at all.
It's not a matter of spin.
No, exactly.
No?
Exactly.
Okay.
Really,
you sure? Maybe gift wrapping?
No, not even gift wrapping.
Not even gift wrapping, okay.
So now, you know, we just want to get to know who people are. I think one of the great things about INSEAD when we see a new class coming on board is the diversity, and it's diversity in terms of nationality, in terms of professional background, but also in terms of personality, and everybody has a different story, and everybody is actually unique.
Of course.
And so, you know, what we're really looking for are people who are sincere in their applications as well. It's quite important. Don't tell us what you think you want to hear, because, you know, we're just looking to find out who the candidate is as a person in addition to, you know, all the rest. So that's pretty important. And then I think, you know, there's also the question, people worrying a little bit about academics or worrying a little bit about experience, et cetera, et cetera. And I would say, you know, obviously when in doubt, reach out to us, because we're always there to advise or to answer any questions. So I think that, but again, I mean, that's pretty basic.
So you will, like, if somebody has a question about, let's say, you know, would you consider somebody with whatever amount of work experience it is or whatever grade percentage, you would advise them, yes, we would consider your application, or, you know, I'm really sorry, this just doesn't cut it.
Absolutely, absolutely. Okay. I mean, obviously, we have that there's a lot of information out there already
right.
On the web. We obviously encourage any prospective candidates to come to any of the events that we have worldwide to be able to meet with alumni. A lot of our prospective candidates already know alumni, which is great. So I would say, you know, always talk to the alumni, try and find out a little bit more about their experience on the program. But at the same time, again, when in doubt, ask us the question, because that's what we're there for too.
That's great advice. PJ, thank you very, very much for your time and for sharing your in-depth knowledge of INSEAD with me today. Where can listeners learn more about INSEAD?
www.insead.edu.
That's pretty easy. Okay. We'll include a link in the show notes at info.exhibit.com/46 to the URL PJ just mentioned. I also want to mention that PJ is featured in a highly informative video on INSEAD admissions. And again, I'll include a link in our show notes to that video, or if it's possible, I might even embed it in the show notes, because it was really excellent. Listener, thank you too for tuning in to this, our 46th episode. As always, please share your feedback. You can leave any kind of feedback on iTunes, the blog, or by emailing linda@exhibit.com. And if you're not yet a subscriber, please make sure you don't miss any episode. You can subscribe either through iTunes, Stitcher, or Zoom. This is Admission Straight Talk, produced by Accepted, and I am your host, Linda Abraham. I'll talk to you again next week. Take care.
Our theme music is provided by podcastthemes.com.